So Brian and I get to preach. Daniel, if you're still wherever Daniel's gone to, Daniel, I'm going to ask you to come up at the end again and play, but not now, just at the end. We'll do that. Didn't get to touch base with him. So let's get started, all right? So we have this verse to read, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Don't get drunk with wine, which will only ruin you, but instead be filled with the Spirit. We'll just keep reading. Speak to one another with words of psalms, hymns, and sacred songs. One more time, I'll go back. Well, Daniel, help me. Put me back to the one. That's the one we'll look at. We'll stay right there. Good enough? Chuck and I were talking about the joys of technology, and we like technology sometimes. So let's talk about this verse. This is where we're going to stay for our time today. And it is, don't get drunk with wine, because it'll ruin your life. Brian, just give us a minute. I've had in my whole life, I am like Glenn Clark. Glenn Clark's one of my spiritual heroes. When AA was starting, they made him an honorary member of AA, though he had never had a drink, okay? And Jesus, who's hooked up with all people in the AA world, he, in his great Cuban accent, he says, "Pastor, you're the pastor of the drunks." And I'm honored to be that. And I've had maybe a half a beer in my whole life. That sips here and there over my lifetime. Brian, you probably had a little bit different career with substances. So just tell us what it's like to be caught up for a second. What is it like to be drunk and to be activated, captivated, and packed, motivated by that stuff?
Well, first off, I would say you're really not the pastor of drunks. It's more like the pastor of tweakers.
There you are.
That'd be more your description. Well, yeah, you know, I've drank some in my life. Alcohol really wasn't my thing, though. It was more just illicit substances. And that phrase he just said, to be stimulated, activated, what is it?
Activated, captivated, and motivated.
I was definitely all of those things. I started my career with substance abuse at a pretty young age. When I was a teen, well, like an early teen, like 12, 13-year-old, for a lot of reasons that I don't have time to go into now, that I wasn't really fond of myself, and I wasn't really fond of the way I felt. And, you know, there was no real good solution to that until I had found mind-altering substances. And then I was like, I kind of like how this feels. I know it's really good at self-denial. Pretty much I could be someone else. I could feel like something else. I was definitely activated, and I was so captivated. And I'm the kind of person that once I put my mind on something, I really have a pretty good focus of just striving towards that goal no matter what. And my goal was to stay in that different mental state, you know, 24 hours a day. You know, and that quest, that led me to a lot of self-destructive behaviors, left me, you know, destroyed my whole life, led me to prison many times. And it pretty much seized my emotional and psychological development, you know, at a teenage, at 12. I pretty much stayed that way until I was like 28. You know, and then things had to start over. But where it says it'll ruin your life is so, so very true. It did ruin me, and it was just so very hard to get away. I'd say impossible outside of Jesus to put a stop to it.
One of our friends put it like this. He said, "I thought I was going to a party, but I ended up in hell." And I think that sums it up for a whole lot of people. But God came along, and he met with you. Thank God for that. And you now are activated, captivated, and motivated by the Holy Spirit. What's that like?
Well, first a disclaimer. I wish, I pray that I'm maybe 20% as motivated and activated and captivated by the Holy Spirit as I am drugs and alcohol. Drugs and alcohol was my primary, methamphetamine was my focus. I did not care. You could not stop me. The only way you could stop me from my quest was to lock me in a prison cell. That's it. But if I was free, I was seeking it constantly. So this is another time that I'm preaching with you and not at you, because I fail miserably, because I do not put the Holy Spirit in the same regard as I did methamphetamine, unfortunately. Now, I do up here. Like, I could give you a great Sunday school answer, that because the Holy Spirit is everything to us, right? You know, Jesus gave that as our guide and our direct. our director, but I don't pay him the same mind as I did, you know, the spirit that was speaking through methamphetamine, and that's unfortunate. But, you know, the Holy Spirit is what attempts to guide my life. I say attempt because he wants to, right? I just don't always listen, right? Sometimes I don't have time to listen. I'm too busy. I don't make myself available. But when I am doing well, the way that I seek him and understand a small part of what he's trying to tell me is I make time for him, right? And I try to cleanse my life of things that are distractions, you know, and I try to give some time every day to wake up and focus on him. And then you just got to be aware, right? Because he'll speak through individuals. And in my life, the Holy Spirit, it depends how well I'm listening. Sometimes he speaks like a billboard or like a punch to the face, because that's what it takes. But other times it's more subtle and it'll be in threes. So I may hear Bob say something, I may read something in my Bible, and then I may see something on a TV commercial, but it'll all go together. That'll be confirmation. You know, it's always threes. Now, I'm not the best at listening. You know, usually it's about 6 or 7 months later that I listen, right? Because I'm super hard-headed and stubborn. I'm probably the only one here that's like that. I don't know. But I am for sure. But that's the way that I just got to give him time. If you have noise in your brain all the time, you can't hear him, right? You got to have some quiet time. And our world is full of the noise that I think is specifically geared to drown out the Holy Spirit. That's probably some of the point of the distraction that we go through. So you just got to make yourself available, and you got to give yourself some space to hear from him.
Amen. Amen. Let me just get a little theology in here for just a second. I read, it was one of those real expensive books that you buy that you understand about almost nothing in it, but you think you're a scholar, so you read the whole thing. And I bought one of those on the Holy Spirit back years ago. And I can't tell you anything that was in that book except the most important thing was in that book. And here's what the author said. Now, he is an eminent scholar in Europe. And here's what he said. Everything Jesus was to his disciples when he walked on this earth, the Holy Spirit is to us today. Let me say that again. Everything that Jesus was to his disciples on earth, the Holy Spirit is to us today. And so, can I talk for just a second longer?
Please.
So, thank you. So, if you're activated, think about those disciples. They said, Jesus said, do you also want to go? Do you want to go away? Do you want to leave me? Because everybody was leaving him. They were freaking out over the things he was saying. Do you want to go away? No, Lord. Only you have the words of life. And so the guy who has the only words of life is the one they were following. We're following you, Lord. They were captivated. You know, they spent every day with him. Can you imagine? Brian, you're talking about that. They had time to be with him every day. So when it was time to have breakfast, they sat around a fire and they ate whatever they ate, bread and fish. And they listened to him talk. They were captivated by him. And then they walked with him. You know, wonder how many hundreds of miles they walked through Galilee, the northern part of Israel, how they walked following him around. They listened to him. They watched him in action. They were captivated by him. And then they were motivated. And so Jesus, I just thought about the feeding of the 5,000 this morning. They were out in the desert, and Jesus was healing people and teaching people. And it got late, and one of the guys came up to Jesus and said, Lord, isn't it quitting time? Send them home so they can go out and find something to eat.
You feed them.
That's exactly right. He said, you feed them. And so, have you all ever done a banquet? We got a brother back here who's got a great restaurant, and good to see you. And you know, have you ever done a banquet for 100 people? I have. Have you ever done a banquet for 200? No. Have you ever done a banquet for 5,000 people? And you're the servers? And you're dishing out the food to all those people. And then he says, now it's all over with. Now, go get in the boat, and I'll meet you in a little while. He goes off and prays, and they get on the boat, and the wind's hitting them. There's only one way that you walk with a guy all over the place, stand out in the hot sun while he heals people and touches people, and then you feed 5,000 of them, and your day's not over with, yet you go get in a boat because you go follow him. You're motivated by him. Whatever he tells you to do, you're going to go do. Now hear this, please. Whatever the Holy Jesus was to his disciples, the Holy Spirit is to us. He will activate you if you'll let him. He'll captivate you if you'll follow him. And he'll motivate you. You'll go where he wants you to go. So I agree with you, Brian. I'm not preaching at him. I'm preaching with him because I thought of my thoughts and I said, Bob, get in the program. Tell me more.
Well, that statement that you made, that everything that that Jesus was to his disciples, the Holy Spirit is to us. Think about that for a second. That's rough. That should hurt you right here. Because in a sense then, when we're not listening to the Spirit, and I don't listen to the Spirit a lot, there'll be little nudges and little things, and I'll just walk on by, right? Why don't you talk to this guy? I'm too busy. I ain't got time for that. Or why don't you do this? Be like, they kind of made me mad. Basically, what am I doing? That's basically, I don't know Jesus. That's denying him, right? Now, you're not really sovereign Spirit, you know? That's not from God. That's basically what I'm saying, is every time I don't listen to that nudge or don't take the inclination that he gave me, I'm basically telling him that you're not who you say you are and I don't belong to you. So that hurts me right here because it happens a lot.
Right. But it's beautiful also. So I was having coffee with a guy on Friday and I was talking about how Maywood got to be Maywood. And I mentioned people like Ricky Beach and Robbie Davis and, you know, Brian, you came along and played a big role in it. And Shane Campy's back here. I told Shane that I was talking about him and Whispering Danny. And then I mentioned Josh Monk. And I really think that Josh, and by the way, we're coming up on 5 years that he died. But before he died, Josh was activated and captivated and motivated by the Lord. And I remember when he was just first following the Lord. And he and I were in a place where it was nervous for him, and I won't get into the details for that, but it was a nervous time for him, and he was just freshly following the Lord, and he was talking all around the world. He would seriously be like a big circle, and he'd come back, but he said, but that ball of fire is no longer in me. And then we'd be talking. It was a pressure moment. It was one of those where it's like, oh my, we're in the pressure cooker right now, and I'm beside this guy, and he's talking all around about everything. He said, but I'm happy, and I've got joy in my life. He was activated, and then he was captivated. You know, he led the class that we have down in the fellowship hall, which is just one of my favorites. Now, Wayne, you're running me a risk here with having Henry Blackaby in this class, because it's a great one, too. But I remember Josh, he would start on Monday with that lesson, and he would study, and he would pray, and he would get up in the morning early, and he'd spend time with God, and then before he went to bed at night, he had more time with God. And God was his life. And so when he was teaching that class, there were things that, boy, you didn't get that out of a book, pal. Jesus filled you with that. He gave you that because you were captivated living with him. And then the Lord motivated. And there's some crazy things that Josh did that were just out of character, other than that the Holy Spirit was alive in him. And just one story, I write a blog every day, and I wrote about this, and I just had fun reliving it. He was driving down 24 Highway right in front of William Crispin High School, and there's a guy walking down the street carrying a trash bag with no shoes. And Josh just crossed the street, you know, that four-lane road, crossed the road, pulled up right in front of the guy. Now, you got a guy in a pickup truck who looks like Josh, and they weren't the same color, you know, and that guy thinking, oh, man, here we go, all right? And Josh got up there and he says, you ain't got any shoes on. He took his shoes off, brand new Nikes, and gave them to him. Got back in his truck and drove off. I write this blog, and a guy who follows it works with Josh, used to work with Josh the school district. And he wrote me back. I said, I remember that day. Josh called me up and said, I got to go get some new shoes on because I gave mine away. So activated. Jesus was real in him, captivated. He lived with him every day, motivated. He had him do crazy things like give away his shoes to a fellow walking down 24 Highway with no shoes. That is the kind of thing that the Spirit does. But then the Holy Spirit does this also in our life. He gives us life. Can you imagine the stress that the disciples had when they walked with Jesus? I mean, oh, here we go again. We've got those religious guys who are dogging us today again because we're not doing it their way. And they had the government officials who were saying, man, you can't do that in here. And yet they kept following him. So they had stress and they had you know, things that really stretched him. You go feed those 5,000 people. Right, thank you very much. You go across the lake while the storm's blowing. I'll catch up with you later. Right. But they had the joy and the power and the life of life because they walked with him. And the offer that God gives us, the offer that he gives us is we can live like that too. He's not somewhere off in space. Yes, he is. But he's not just off in space somewhere in heaven. But he's also right in this building, right with you. When you leave here today, he'll be walking with you. And you can be activated in your life because he's the King of Kings, living with you through the Spirit. You can be captivated. You can start spending more time with him. And you can then be motivated. He'll direct you and he'll guide you. And so to be filled with the Spirit, that's it. And so, Brian, you confess 20%, and I've got to say I'm in that category also. It's not like we're just always there, 100%, but we can go there. He will fill us. You want to have a closing thought before we get Daniel up here?
Well, from what you explained and from my experience, when we do listen to the Holy Spirit, it leads to action in our lives, right? It leads to change is probably a better word because the you can never stand still with Jesus. You're either walking towards him or you're walking away. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, it's for positive change in your life. He has something better or something new. He wants to get you closer to what his son looks like. And that's where we want to be. And it is like 20%, but that's not because of the Spirit. That's because of me. It could be 100 if I would just do it, right? If I would just listen. I mean, that's what he yearns for. He seeks that relationship. He wants us to be all there. He's got good things to give us. And we're like, no, I'm good. I got the stuff down here. So I would just urge each and every one of you and us to take that time to listen, to stop, to pray like, Lord, you know, I need some more of what they were talking about. I need some more of that Spirit in my life. I need a lot more of it, and I don't know how to get it. But please just show me how. Make yourself, you know, I'm going to make myself available, and you just show up. And he will because he's already there, you know. And if you just seek God just a little bit, you seek his Spirit just a little bit, it's going to come at you a whole bunch. So get ready.
There you go. Thank you. Daniel, come on up. So in here, we're going to ask you to do this. We did it last week, and we're going to do it again this week. If you're in Fellowship Hall or the Youth Chapel, pray with your eyes open. Pray with your head up a little bit. God can hear you with your prayer, with your eyes open. And if you have a prayer request, just put your hand up in the air. Okay, so I have my hand up in the air, and I'm asking God to work in my life, to move more of his Spirit in me. So just slip your hand up. And then while you're praying, you see somebody else with their hand. So I see Ernie. I'm going to pray for Ernie. I see my brother back here with his hand up. So we're going to pray for one another while we sing. All right? So just slip your hand up. If you'd like somebody to pray for you, you look around and you see somebody with their hand up. Mark and Linda are going out of town this week. Mark's going to be speaking to a group of nurses down in, is it Alabama? So you pray for him, and Linda's going to go be with him. So we see hands all around. Look around and find somebody that God puts on your heart. Jake is over there. Put somebody on your heart, and you pray for them. Daniel, why don't you lead us? We're just going to be quiet for a couple of minutes as we spend this time praying for one another. All right? And once your hand's up for a while, I know it gets tired to leave it up. You can put it back down, and we just know you got it up. All right? thank you all for being here today. And you saw somebody and God kind of put them on your heart. Don't let this be the last time you pray for them. All right? Don't let it be the last. And, you know, I hope that our message was really practical today. The Spirit of God is as real to you as Jesus was when he walked on this earth with his disciples. Let it be real for you today. All right? Would you do that? Brian, why don't you lead us in prayer?
Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for who you are. Thank you for sitting in your spirit, Lord. And just thank you for this place called Maywood Baptist. And Lord, me and Bob just admitted to being about 20%, you know, on our job with you, Lord. And I'm sure we're not the only ones. And whatever percent that is, each and every one of us here that can hear that's here today to worship you, it could be more, Lord. And I just ask whatever steps we need to take and whatever things we need to eliminate from our life and whatever relationships we need to mend, whatever it is, what that next step is, to be closer to you, to seek you, to have more of you in our life. Lord, just show us what it is and make it clear, make it simple, make it obvious, Lord. And Lord, I'd ask that you just give us a double measure, Spirit. Just overpower us, overfill us, and let that Spirit lead to some motivational change in our lives for you. In Jesus' name pray, amen.